apprentice of God. And his God instructs him of the way, he teaches him. Isaiah 28 verse 26. Isaiah once spoke the well-known parable of the farmer, the plowman. In the process of developing his parable, Isaiah starts focused on a resting point in the remark that the farmer is a student of God. In a beautiful development of details, the prophet shows us in a parable how, in the three elements of plowing, sowing, and later harvesting, the man is each time revealing himself in every distinct occupation as a student of God, of the God who created everything, and who created each particular object in the complete universe according to its nature. This same God did not only perpetuate each created thing in its existence, but also, especially in actuality, perpetuated that unique nature of each of the creatures. Exactly in the fact that he preserved the unique nature of each created thing, he made it possible for the world to continue. Otherwise, it would have dissolved and perished. Thus, this creation did not become a world of enduring perpetuity, of a consistent regularity, by an immanent strength, that is, by its own strength, but by the will and power of God. It is so consistent that a foolish philosophy of science has coined the unfortunate phrase of laws of nature. The reason for science to speak thus is in the end nothing else than this, that God allows creation, as long as it pleases him, to run in accordance to set standards of his will. In this process, his will is always at work. That will also puts limits to the so-called laws of nature and reveals them by the miracle, or in the Day of Days. Then the same God will intervene from above with the world and increase the intensity to a higher plan of life in the new heaven and the new earth. Regulations which appear to us as tough as centuries, he will then replace by others. Yet also in that, he will always still develop the existing things according to their nature, for each thing will continue to be faithful to its nature, when it fulfills the special task which the commanding word of God as Creator has appointed for it, and which he does in his time. Thus, as long as God does not intervene with power, does no miracles, and does not yet present a new dispensation to the world, everything in creation will continue its regular course. That is also true for the miracle and for the catastrophe of the last day. But at that time we will not see the regularity, even though it will be there. Yet, in the ordinary way of life, we will see or recognize the regular order. Man can study this regularity. He will observe nature in its distinctions and parts, and thus will learn to distinguish everything according to its own nature. Thus he will later be able to distinctly treat everything. Just pay attention again to that farmer. In every component of his work, there is always an extraordinary difference in the type of work he does. Is this extraordinary? No, it is normal, for its distinctions are a result of nature. And if he knew even more about it, he would show still more differences in his treatment of the material. He opens up the ground, the one time roughly and with power, and other times carefully and with precision. He does that in accordance to the distinct nature of the soil, and also because he will soon lay different kinds of seed in that soil. The nature of that seed was already considered in advance. Soon he will plant or sow the seed. But also that is done in quite a variety of ways, as required by the laws of growing of each particular seed. He considers already at the time of the sowing the manner of the growing of each seed. And when the reaping of the harvest has come, he also will do the threshing. Yet again, that threshing is very different by method and instrument. The one crop requires quite a different treatment than the other. Now, in all of these distinctive ways of work, this farmer is a student of his God. He reads the regulations of this God. He reads what is recorded in Genesis 1. His ability to read allows the king and the beggar to live from the field. They both profit from the apprenticeship of every farmer. And in a broader sense, this law applies to all of life in society, also for technicians, etc. For us, there is an encouraging thought in all of this, that our life maintains a regularity and that the world is not plunged into chaos, is only due to that unbroken law of creation and government of God, who in that succession of days toward the end maintains the laws which he established at the beginning. Our reading of those laws is connecting all of our life to Genesis 1. But it is also pointing toward Revelation 22. For now that also Christ was served from the field, and now that he also has profited in his redemptive work from the fact that each farmer is an apprentice of God, also the limits of this apprenticeship have been set by this same Christ. It has served him who of his own service could say, "It is finished." The new dispensation is coming. The new earth is approaching. Christ has put an end to the apprenticeship of farmer and technician. For Christ has eaten of the field, but will not eat again eternally. He did live in this world, but already lives in the other. Thus the day is already approaching in which the farmer no longer needs to work, no longer needs to plow, and sow and thresh. For that day will do away with food and the stomach. Indeed, we profit from the apprenticeship of the farmer and technician and everyone. We enjoy in the present of today the ordinations of the past. We indeed desecrate the graves of the prophets, but not of the farmers. Indeed, we desecrate those of the prophets, for their bread is not according to our taste. But because of our own self-interest, we do not desecrate the graves of our reverend farmers, for their bread is according to our taste. Let us eat, but read ourselves the written word of God. For why do all things not remain thus as it was from the beginning of creation? The farmer does not know that, nor the technician. Only Scripture teaches that the apprentice of God, who drinks wisdom from the past, will have to incline himself as a student to the future, in which the day of the Lord will appear. He who is prepared for a world without stomach and food should remain a student of God in nature, but above all, God's disciple according to Scripture. Only that disciple will speak of limits to the regularity of nature and teach us their majestic purpose.